Okay, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to hear speak at Link Sen. It's an exciting opportunity for me, and it's a meaningful one as well. This is an age and stage and demographic that it's important to stay in learning. It's important to keep a tight-knit group of people who are like-minded, growth-oriented, and a program like this, and Link Sen, helps us join together. I don't know how often you do this, once a week?
Yeah.
Once a week to get together to learn like this is really commendable. And it's going to prove important in the short term and the long term, b'siyata d'shmaya. So I want to talk tonight. Some of the suggested topics were revolved around the timely, you know, current events, not really events in the world, but meaning holidays that are coming up, chizuk, some inspiration for times that are either filled with holidays or sometimes feel like they're a little bit empty. So I thought that we'll talk about Purim. Purim is coming up kind of soon. It's almost Rosh Chodesh Adar. But it's a message that we're going to get from Purim, which really applies regardless of whether it's Purim or not. Is this person, are you looking for the shiur or no?
Well,
no.
That would be nice too, but I have a Torah meet appointment at 10:15.
Great. Sounds better. Sounds even better. So a message from Purim that's applicable all year round. And the way that we're going to do it is through a halacha. That's the way I like to do things. So we're going to learn a halacha. All of halacha is meaningful. The very fact that we have a prescribed way of living, which elevates and sanctifies every action, every space we occupy, every moment we live through on the calendar, it infuses our lives with purpose, with meaning, with holiness. Additionally, halacha often carries with it a message, a mission, a theme that's going to inspire, it's going to uplift, it's going to move us in such a way that we gain holiness and we attain holiness and we're able to maintain holiness through the halacha. Sometimes that message is very obvious, it's very apparent. Sometimes it's a little more hidden, a little more concealed, subtle, harder to find. So tonight, Amir Tzashem Bli Neder, we're going to discuss a message that we can glean from the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. The mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, Megillas Esther on Purim, is obviously a prominent mitzvah of the day. And the message is really, as I think, clear-cut and apparent and obvious as it is significant. Those two are not in opposition. It could be very obvious and very apparent and still be very important. Ayin, the Mesilas Yesharim, in the Hagdama, famously says he's not going to teach you anything new. Something, these are all ideas, all fundamental principles that everyone knows already, but we need to learn them in depth, we need to chazer them, we need them explained to us. Otherwise, we lose track of them, otherwise we don't notice them in our lives. So similar tonight, and additionally, it'll jump straight out from the halacha. We're not going to have to stretch too far to see what we're talking about. So let's jump in to the Gemara B'Siyat HaShemayim. If you look in source number one, you have a Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. Maseches Megillah is called Megillah because it's all about Purim and Megillas Esther. So in the Mishnah, on Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, the every 30 days expire. I think you're good. It's blocking my face, which is better for me. But I think it's not expiring right now. I think you're good. So the Mishnah tells us, HaKorei Esa Megillah L'Mafreya Lo Yatzo. What does L'Mafreya mean? Anyone know what does L'Mafreya mean? If you read the Megillah, out of order, very good. Yeah, literally I would say backwards. Literally I would say backwards, but out of order is really exactly right. So it will we'll say it literally just for now. HaKorei Esa Megillah L'Mafreya, if you read the Megillah backwards or in the wrong order, Lo Yatzo, you are not in fulfillment of your obligation of Kriyas Megillah on Purim. Why not? Why are you not Yotze in such a case? So the Gemara asks that very question. If you look in source number one, where it says Gemara, the Gemara says, Minahani Mili, which means, from where do we know this? From where do we have a source? From where do we know that reading the Megillah backwards out of order is not the proper way to do so? And in fact, that if you do so, you would not be Yotze your mitzvah. You would not be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, the mitzvah Midar Abanan, the rabbinic law that a person has to read Megillah on the day of Purim. How do we know that? So the Gemara suggests one source, rejects it, and then says, Ela mehacha, if you look in the bold, dichsiv, it says, in the Megillah, v'hayamim ha'ela nizkarim v'na'asim. These days are nizkarim, they are commemorated, v'na'asim, they are fulfilled, they are performed, they are done. Iskish, zechira, la'asiyah, you have two different concepts over here, two different things. You have zechira, commemoration of the miracle of the day of Purim, and you have asiya, the doing, the performance of the mitzvos of the day. Ma'asiya l'mafreya lo, just like you can't do things in a backwards order, so too, af zechira l'mafreya lo. So too, saying, reading the Megillah, laying the Megillah backwards, out of order, is also not allowed, and therefore you would not be yose. What does this mean? Asiya l'mafreya, zechira l'mafreya. We understand what it means to read the Megillah backwards, but what does it mean to do asiya backwards? So there's two possibilities. The Turei Evan, written by the same author as the Shai Gesariye, but the Turei Evan is his commentary on different Masechtas. We have Megillah, we have on Rosh Hashanah, we have on Tainus. We have a Chagiga. So the Turei Eben here explains what he thinks Rashi means. I didn't put the Rashi on the page, but if you look inside, you might find this in Rashi, which is the following. Everyone remember there's a difference between, I was just at an event earlier, I think it was Matzei Shabbos, not this conference, and someone asked what day Purim is, and he said it's going to be Wednesday, and then the guy said, no, Purim is Tuesday. When's Purim this year? Tuesday? I don't remember. I think it's Tuesday. So the guy said, no, it's Tuesday. So he said, no, but it's in what's it called? So he said, this county in L.A. wasn't walled from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. What are you talking about, right? We know there's a distinction between if a city was walled from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun or not. If it's a Ayaros Hamukafas Chomo, like we know Yerushalayim, the Yer Atika, you keep Purim on Tezvav, on the 15th of Adar. Everyone else keeps Purim on Yudalat Adar, right? The 14th of Adar. So this person said he thinks it is. He thinks Bel Air is walled. Anyone here know? He thinks it is walled.
Bel Air?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's gated. But then they were cheshbing. First of all, it wasn't around the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. But second of all, they were cheshbing the bottom, apparently. I don't know anything about this place. I haven't been past Adas. This is my first time being here. The bottom part of the fence maybe isn't 10 tefachim tall or something. It's a lower fence. They had a whole, the hair was like weird conversation. But anyway, so we know that there's an order of things. What's the order of things? People who live outside of walled cities keep Purim on the 14th of Adar. People who live inside of walled cities keep Purim on the 15th of Adar. You can't do that backwards. The people who are supposed to keep on the 15th can't keep on the 14th. The people who keep on the 14th can't keep on the 15th. So that's not allowed to be out of order. So too, just like Asiya is in order, 14th and 15th, so too, Zechira, reading the Megillah, also has to be in order. Okay, kind of like an interesting comparison. That's what the Turei Eben suggests. But others, the Rashash in his commentary in the back of the Gemara over here, the Rashash, a very important commentary, he explains differently. He says, no, any action we do, let's say you're building a house. So how do you build a house? So you put up the roof, and then you wait, and then you put up the walls underneath it. That's ridiculous. Obviously, you can't put up a roof without walls. It'll fall apart. You have to go from the foundation. You have to drill a foundation. You have to fill that with cement. And then you have to build a foundation on top of the cement. And you have to build a first floor and a second floor and walls and then a roof. That's the only way to possibly build a building. You have to go in order. So says the Rashash, what the Gemara means here is that there is an order. There's a Seder. There's a way of proceedings here. Something comes before something else. There are steps in the process. Just like every Asiya, anything you do, anything you try to perform or accomplish has to be done in its set order, so too Kriyas HaMegillah has to be done in its set order. It is written from beginning to end. You must read it from beginning to end. Reading it backwards from back to front or reading it in out of order fashion, that's not going to satisfy your obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says we have a pasuk for it in the Megillah, which connects Zechira and Asiya in one of the two ways that we just mentioned. And that means that therefore you can't read the Megillah out of order or else you will not be Yotzei. The Gemara then says this is not only applicable to Kriyas HaMegillah. This is also true in other contexts. When else do we read things? Okay, the Torah, we're going to get there soon, Blinether. Very good. What else do we read or say? Tefillah. What in particular in Tefillah do we do? Kriya.
Torah.
Kriya Shema. Very good. Kriya Torah we're going to come back to. Kriya Shema. Excellent. So Kriya Shema, you're supposed to read Shema every single day, right? Twice a day. So when you read Shema, the Gemara here in Megillah continues and says, when you read Kriya Shema, when you lay in Shema, you have to go in order. You have to go in order. The Gemara says the same thing is true about Hallel. That was harder to get. But Hallel is also Psukim from Tehillim. And we have to say them in order. You're not supposed to say them out of order. How do we know you have to say Kriyas Shema in order? How do we know you have to say Hallel in order? So in each case, the Gemara says we have a different source. In Kriyas Shema, I think it says V'haya. The Pasuk says V'haya M'shama Tishmu. So the Gemara says V'haya B'havaya So Yeah, it has to begin in order. The way that it's set is the way it has to be said. Okay, and Hallel has its own, I think it's Mimizrach Shem Sh'ad Mevo, whatever, there's a Seder, there's an order to the way you say Kriyas Shema, to the way you say Hallel.
What about in Davening? Because
right. Great question. So the order is probably not ma'akiv. There is an order in terms of preference, meaning let's say a person gets to shul late. It doesn't happen on the East Coast, but I've noticed it happens a lot here. You get to shul late, so which one should you do first? Let's say you can only have time for two of them. Right. So that's a big discussion in the postgame. If you look, I don't think it's true anymore in the art scroll sitters, although I don't know, I don't use one. But it used to be the old sitters. Do you ever notice some of the Hallelukas are bigger, some of them are smaller font. You ever notice that?
Okay, yeah. So
I think that originally they did that in order to show, yeah, they used to show you the bigger ones are the more important ones. Mm-hmm. So if you were stuck, just do the big ones type of thing. But in order is not Maki in that sense, correct. Okay, so we know that we have a pasuk in the Megillah about Megillas Esther has to be in order, not backwards. We know that there are two different sources which teach us that also Hallel and also Kriyas Shema have to be done in order and not backwards. The question that's asked, some of the Achronim do ask this question, is why do we need multiple sources? Why do we need a source which tells us not only can't you read Megillah backwards, but you also can't read Kriyas Shema backwards. Not only can't you read Kriyas Shema backwards, but you also can't read Megillah backwards. Why do I need both? They're both Kriya. They're both reading, right? So if we tell me that the Torah says, or I should say the Megillah says, let's say the Torah says, don't read Kriyas Shema backwards. What could I assume? Also don't read Megillas Esther backwards. It should be in order, because reading is supposed to be in order. Why do I need multiple sources? What's the difference between these two things that I need to split them up into different sources? Learn them all from the same place. Of course, it's true that we can't learn random things from each other. So you can't say, just like Kriyas Shema has to be done in order, so too, when you shech the carbon, it has to go in order. What does carbon have to do with Kriyas Shema? Okay, but Kriyas Shema and Megillah are inherently connected. If you look in the Megillah on Yod Tes Amud Beis in the Gemara says that a cheresh shote v'katan, someone who doesn't have the mental capacity to understand and to really give over the Megillah, if they read Megillah, you're not yotze the Megillah by listening to them. That's paskent in Shulchan Aruch. And the Gemara learns that from Kriyas Shema. Someone who's either a deaf mute and can't produce the sounds properly, or someone who doesn't have the mental capacity. We're not talking about that. That's a different question. Correct. That's a very good question. Alacha. Now we're talking about now. This is someone who literally does not have the capacity to do so. So in such a case, he can't be Yotze. How do we know that? The Gemara learns it by Megillah from Kriyas Shema. So here too. Learn it from Kriyas Shema. Why not? What's the distinction? What's the difference between Kriyas Shema and Megillah? We can't learn one from the other about reading backwards. So in order to answer that question, we'll note a halacha, here in source number 2, a detail in the halacha of Megillah. And by noting that detail, it's going to help us clue in. It's going to lead us to a deeper understanding of the din, which is going to lead us to a yesod, a foundational, fundamental principle that's going to burst this whole sugya open for us in terms of halacha and eventually in terms of hashkafa, in terms of the message we're supposed to glean from here. So if you look in source number 2, you have a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch here in Hilchos Kriyas HaMegillah says as follows, HaKorei Es HaMegillah L'Mafreya Lo Yatza. We saw that already, right? That's a Mishnah. He's just paskening. He's just codifying our Mishnah, l'halacha. He's saying this is the binding law, that if a person reads the Megillah out of order, back to front, so they are not going to be Yotzi the Megillah. Good? Then the Shulchan Aruch says, Kara Pasuk Echad. So what's that called? What does that mean going back and forth? What does it mean backwards out of order? Kara Pasuk Echad. You read Pasuk 1. V'dileg Hasheni. You skip 2. V'kara Shlishi. So you did 1 and then 3. So you skipped, correct? Then you say, Ay, Givalt Geshrigan. I have to make sure I read the rest of the Megillah. So what do you do? So you v'achakach Chazar V'kara Hasheni. So now you jump back and you read 2, because that's what you skipped. So now your order is 1, 3, 2. Then you're going to do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? Lo yatza, says the Shulchan Aruch, you're not yotze that way, because you read the psukim out of order. Mimnei shekara lemafreya pasuk echad. Because you read one of the psukim out of order, you have to read the psukim in order of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. You can't go 1, 3, 2. 1, 3, 2, 5, 4. You have to go straight in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Going straight in line. Otherwise, it's Korei Lemafreya. The Mishnah Berurah here in Sivkat and Chaf Beis, you have it in source number 3, I believe. Yep, you have it in source number 3. The Mishnah Berurah notes that the issue of Lemafreya, of reading out of order, it also applies, and I think this is even more intuitive probably, but it also applies to the reading the words out of order. Meaning not just Pasuk 1, then Pasuk 3, then Pasuk 2. But let's say instead of Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh, you said Achashverosh Bimei Vayihi. So that doesn't work, right? That's a little more intuitive, correct? Why? It doesn't mean anything. You don't, right? You probably don't need to be told that, right? That's more intuitive. That's obvious. If you read the pasuk out of order, it doesn't make sense. It's gibberish. So if it's gibberish, you can't understand it. So of course you're not going to be able to say, okay, but the Mishnah Berurah just makes sure that we understand that. If you look earlier in the Mishnah Berurah, you have it here in source number 3 in the first one, Sivkat and Chaf Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah notes one other thing that we may not have guessed on our own. The Mishnah Berurah here says that if a person reads the parshios out of order, meaning let's say he does the following. Let's say he gets up to lay in the Megillah. He starts by Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh. He starts at the beginning of the story. Then he jumps to the end and reads all the 10 sons of Haman hanging in one breath, beautifully. Then he jumps back to Esther's party. And then he goes back to the beginning when Achashverosh is trying to find the wife. And he reads the rest of the Megillah in order. So on the one hand, it's sort of understandable, the story, because he read chapter 5, chapter 2, chapter 1, chapter 3, and 4. So he read the chapters fully, right? Each section was understandable, but he read it with the partials, with those chapters out of order. Does that work? So says the Mishnah, absolutely not. That does not work. And this seems to be an explicit Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Beis in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah on Yud Ches on 18b says that if a person enters shul late, interesting, because this is more applicable, who's going to do what we just said? But imagine this, a person enters shul late. I don't know if I mentioned, but that happens a lot here. So a person enters shul late, and they get to shul Megillah morning, per morning, and they're halfway through the Megillah. Halfway through the Megillah. So what should I do? So I think to myself, I'll chap a convenient way right here. I'll be efficient. I'll listen to the second half. Hear it from the Balkore, then I'll go and I'll read the first half afterwards. Am I Yotze that way? Says the Gemara Megillah, no, you're not Yotze that way. You're not Yotze that way. Why not?
Because I feel like the story's out of order anyway.
Oh, that's an interesting point. We'll try to come back to that. We'll try to come back. It's not out of order,
right,
but it's confusing.
It's not consecutive.
Right, so we'll get to that hopefully. So the Rambam here says explicitly, then Parak Beis of Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam says that the reason why a person is not Yotze in that situation where they read again, the second half, and then the first half, is because it's considered hakore le mafreya. It's considered reading out of order. Originally we said backwards, but really your definition was much more accurate, clearly, right? It's not only literally backwards, that would also be problematic, but even out of order. And not only out of order in psukim, and not only out of order, of course, in words, but even out of order in chapters is a problem when it comes to the Megillah. What's so fascinating about that halacha, because I don't know, I feel like from looking around, that's obvious, right? Even the chapters, yeah, you could put each chapter together, I hear, but really, they belong in order. So it's strange to go out of order, so it makes sense to us that it's not permissible in that way. But what's so fascinating is if you look in source number 4, if you remember, we said that the same halacha applies not only to Kriyas and Megillah, but also to Kriyas Shema, right? We said Kriyas Shema also, you can't read out of order. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, Avalim hiktim parsha lechaverta. Let's say instead of saying Shema Yisrael and then V'ahavta and then V'haya, you said Shema Yisrael, V'haya, V'ahavta, and then the last one, V'yomer. So you read out of order, but it was only out of order in terms of paragraphs, not in terms of psukim. Are you Yotze or you're not Yotze? So based on everything we just said, you should not be Yotze. It's the same halacha. You're going out of order. It's not psukim, it's not words, but even the parshios, even the chapters going out of order is problematic. Says the halacha, says the Shulchan Aruch, source number 4, Afa pishen or rashai, you're not allowed to do it. You have to read it in the right way. Yatza. You taka ar yotze.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why? What do you mean? It's the same thing. It's not a kriya. You didn't read in order. How is that okay? What's the reason to distinguish? So I see there's a distinction. What's the reason for the distinction? So before we even answer the reason, what does this help us with? Does anyone remember the question that got us rolling over here?
Why?
We started with the din. They're not allowed to read out of order.
Yeah.
Then we said that's also true by kriyat shema and halal. And we said in each of those cases there's a separate pasuk that teaches you that halacha, correct? And what do we ask? Why do we need separate psukim, right? Why do we need separate sources? Kriyas Shema and Megillah are always connected. What's the answer now?
Because they're not.
They're different. They're different. By Kriyas Shema, if you read the parshios out of order, the chapters, so you're still Yotze. By Megillah, you are not Yotze. So if we learned them from the same source, we wouldn't necessarily know to tease out those details and find the differentiating factors between the two of them. So clearly they needed different sources to express they were different halachos. Okay, that's fascinating. That's very interesting.
Why do we even have the first question in the first?
So let's ask even better than that. Let's ask, what's the reason for the distinction? Now we see, okay, we pointed to it. We named the baby. That's what we call it. We named the baby. We see that there's a difference. Okay, we see the difference. But what's the difference? What's the reason for the distinction? So look in source number 5, the Chidushei HaRitva. The Ritva is a Rishon who writes commentary on the Gemara. So here in Megillah, he points out this difference, that if you go out of order in parshios, in chapters, you are not Yotze in Megillah, whereas by Kriyas Shema you are Yotze. He asks why it's different in that way, and he explains as follows. He says, if you notice, by the way, the way that Kriyas Shema is written in the Torah is, first of all, it's not all next to each other. It's from different parshios in the Torah. Second of all, it's not even in that order. It's spread out differently in the Torah. So what we do when we read Kriyas Shema, there's more to be said over here. We don't have time for right now. But what we do when we read Kriyas Shema is we read it in the way Chazal, Dan Shei Knesset Gedola, wanted us to read it to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. But the actual parshios appear in a different order. So what you see is they tell you the way to read it, but really the parshios can be read in other orders. So it's not necessarily going to be Ma'akib. Okay, that's what he points out with that. What we're interested in Megillah's Esther. So look in the bold here in source number 5. Avahacha b'Megillah, here in the case of Megillah's Esther. Im sireis es ha-parshios, if you mix up, if you tangle up the different parshios, the different chapters, even though it's not the pasuk, and even though it's not the word, and it's not the letters, and it's not exactly backwards, but you mix up the chapters, you go from chapter 1 to 6 to 4 to 2, it's out of order by Megillah, sireis es ha-parshios, hipech kol ha-inyan. You've mixed up, you've flipped the entire idea, the entire concept, the entire story. Dekula kechada parsha hi. It's true. You and I can put chapter headers and break it up into Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, Perek Gimel. But the entire story of Megillas Esther, says the Ritva, the entire Maisa Shahaya, that whole storyline is one inyan. It's one parsha. It's one idea that's being layered, that's being laid out in a very odd and very confusing and often dramatic way. But that is one story that's unfolding piece by piece. If you do chapter 2 before chapter 1, chapter 5 before chapter 3, you are flipping the whole story. When it comes to Kriyas Shema, it's three disconnected parshios. It's not telling you a story of a Haya and then you read about the next part of the story. There's no beginning and then climax of the story. No, they're three different things that they relate to each other, but they don't build on each other. But the Megillah builds on itself. It's something that's developing as a story throughout. It's one long parsha, one long recounting of events with intricate details. It's got plot twists, it's got order. It has a Seder. If you tangle up that order, you're ruining the whole thing. That's what the Ritva tells us. The Megillah is a story. Stories have an order, they have an arrangement. The mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, it's not simply to say the words, but it's to tell the story. That's what we're seeing here. The mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is not defined as saying the words in the Megillah, like saying Kriyas Shema, like davening Kriyas Shema. It's telling the story through the Megillah. It's not called storytelling if you tell it out of order. It's Mishka Babel, it doesn't make any sense. There's, you know, fascinating halach in the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Beis and Megillah, the one we quoted before, has an interesting quote from the Gemara. The case as follows. Let's say you read the whole Megillah in order. It's in order, but you do it the following way. You read a pasuk, then you stop and take a big breath. Then you read a second pasuk, take a stop. Third pasuk, take a coffee break. Fourth pasuk, you take a break long enough. You take an hour-long break, long enough to read the whole Megillah. And then you come back and keep going. And you finish the whole Megillah, it takes you 5 hours. You think you're a Yotze that way? I would have guessed not. It's way too messed up. The Rambam says you are Yotze. You are Yotze. Why? So the question is really why not? What would you have thought is wrong with it? Right, the hefsek is a good point. So
are you allowed to drink during the hearing of it?
You're saying would that have messed it up to drink during it?
In general.
Oh, I think a person is allowed to drink while they're listening. Although I haven't looked at it recently, but I think so.
Like,
but here the person's reading.
Water or like drink coffee?
Let's say water for now. So there was a break in between, so you're saying maybe there's like some sort of hefsek. Okay, that's an important point. That's an interesting point. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, you are Yotze, and his words are, you're Yotze Hawil Vikara Al Haseder. Since you read it in order. What a strange Rambam, no? Let's say I was writing this Rambam. Let's say we were ghost writing the Rambam. So I would say like this. Let's say I thought you were Yotze. So I would say, if a person reads the Megillah by taking breaks and breathing deeply and taking a coffee break in between, whatever. So he's Yotze. Maybe I would say, even though he took breaks, or maybe I would say he's Yotze because it was a kosher Megillah. He was a bar mitzvah boy. It was the right time at night. He did not make any mistakes in terms of pronunciation, right? I would have had a million things I could have finished the sentence with. I never would have said, he's Yotze reading the Megillah because he read it in order. What does order have to do with that? The issue wasn't out of order here. The issue was the breaks. So what does out of order have to do with the breaks? You hear the question? The Rambam's strange. So this is amazing. You know what the Rambam's telling us? If you think of the halacha of being korei lemafreya, of reading the Megillah out of order as a structural issue, meaning when you read the Megillah, it has to go A, B, C, D. It has a certain structure. It has a certain way of being read. Then I don't understand this. I read it in order. What does that have to do with the fact that I took breaks? One has nothing to do with the other. But what do we explain? What's the halacha of hakorei lemafreya? It's not about the structure. It's about the story. It's about telling the story over. The Megillah has to be a case of saying a story over to everyone, of telling it in a way that that really bespeaks storytelling. If that's true, then one way to mess that up is to read it backwards or out of order. That's one way to mess it up. You know what a second way you can mess it up is? Take a million breaks in between. No one tells stories like that. No one walks out in the middle and then comes back.
Like a story, like let's say you're in a campfire or something. People go.
I don't know. Maybe the it could be the Rambam didn't go to enough campfires. You might be right about that.
You know what I mean? Like when someone's doing
this if you read right. If you read in the Rambam, right. If you read in the Rambam, so it's clear that this is not the normal way of telling a story. You break for songs and it comes. It's in a very specific, measured type of way. I don't think that this Baal Kor the Rambam's referring to stopped saying Ani Mamin with everyone slowly, and then, you know, came to the exciting part of the Megillah. He means that it was an awkward breaks in the storytelling. That's not storytelling. Says the Rambam, okay, you might have thought that, but Hoil Vikara Ala Seder, at least he read in order. At least you read the Megillah in order. Since you read it in order, this really isn't a ruining of the story. Okay, maybe you lost some of the drama, the effect, maybe you lost some of the storytelling value, but it is still the story, and that's the pshat and the psul in the first place, so that doesn't apply in this case. Yeah, we'll go in this order. That there is silence? I believe so.
Oh, but you can't talk?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. It just says, you know, I forgot the words, but I think pasak v'shaha, or shaha v'pasak, so he just waited. Yeah.
Well, if the point, as I stated earlier, was to understand the point of the story, the point of the Megillah, was to give over some lesson, then if you have a pause, you might not remember the thread.
Meaning if it's long enough that it could ruin your, yeah, so I guess... I guess the assumption probably is, you're right. Probably the assumption is that if the break is 30 minutes, you'll still be holding where you left off. But you're right. If we're going to lose track of the story, that could be a different issue that comes up. You're right. Okay. I mean, there's got to be some limit, right? The Rambam doesn't mean that you could stop for 2 days and then come back and finish the story, right? So there's some limit. It's not even Purim. Unless you go to Bel Air. Then maybe it's still Purim. Okay, so this is already the Megillah we talked about, Kriya Shema we talked about, the difference between the two of them. But there was another halacha that was brought up by two individuals here in the beginning, which was Kriya Satorah, laning, right? During davening on Monday and Thursday, laning on Shabbos, we lane from the Torah, we read the Torah. So where does that fall into everything? So you have a Rishon here, the Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid says that we see that the Megillah has its own source, its own limud, as we spoke about until now, for Hakorei Limafreya, for someone who reads out of order, reads backwards or out of order. As such, the din which we are discussing is, says the Tosfos Rid, limited to Mikra Megillah or to Kriya Shema, wherever the source might be. But we don't have such a source by Kriya Satorah, and therefore what? If you read the Psukim of Kriya Satorah out of order, you should be Yotze. And look in source number 6, the Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Lamed Zayin in Orach Chaim. If a person skips, afilu dileg pasuk echad, chozer v'korei, you just return to that pasuk and read it. Afilu achar shehichzer satorah, even if you've already put away the Torah, you got to take it out, read that pasuk with two along with it so that you have a three full for an aliyah. That's not for now. But the point is that you don't have to do what? In the case of Megillah, let's say I read pasuk 1, skip 2, went 3, 4. What do I have to do? Go back to 2 and go straight. I can't go 1, 3, 4, oops, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have to go back in order. By Kriya Satorah, you don't have to do that. By laning, you do not have to do that. Why is that so? The Torah also tells stories. Even the dinim in the Torah, even we're going to read Parshas Mishpatim this week. Not so many stories. It's a lot of halachos. All of Bava Kama, a lot of kedushin in the first parak. A lot of halachos in Mishpatim. Okay, but even the halachos have an order to them. We learn out in the Gemara, this mitzvah is put next to this mitzvah, this din is put next to that din. So we compare and we contrast. So what do you mean? You read out of order, you're ruining the story if it's a story. You're ruining the halachic meaning if you go out of order. So why is it limited? Why is it specifically by Kriyas HaMegillah that you find such a halacha of reading out of order? So some of the Rishonim, they quote from the Michtam. I put for you because I don't think they have it on Bar Ilan in source number 7, the Me'iri. The Me'iri is confusing because the bracketed part that I made smaller, which I want to try to ignore, goes against what we're saying. But the first part in bold expresses what we're trying to say, which is the following. The Michtam and then the Me'iri in this one line, they write that the reason for the psul, listen to this, the reason for the psul, the issue of Hakorei Lemafreya, of reading backwards, reading out of order by Megillah, is that it is a lack of what? What's the famous term by Megillah? It's a lack of, you could look in the text here. Exactly. Pirsumei Nisa. What does Pirsumei Nisa mean, colloquially? Publicizing the Nes. Excellent. Publicizing the Nes. So usually the whole fundamental background of the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is publicizing the Nes, Pirsumei Nisa. Where else do we have Pirsumei Nisa? Chanukah, the Gneros, also one other place.
I have to Pirsumei Nisa.
That's not what I was thinking of. That was my fourth example. My third example, though, is Dalad Kosos. Dalad Kosos is also an Apeinu Yuvelutanes. There's a Pirsumei Nisa aspect to it. Okay, Pirsumei Nisa. There's a Pirsum. There's a
public commemoration?
No, but what, the publication? No. Yeah, but there's no way to do it that way. Like, you can't say public commemoration? No, I like it, though. I think we're going to go with it. Publicization. I think we're going to make it a thing. So there's got to be a publicization of the miracle. Pirsumei Nisa. Here, you're lacking Pirsumei Nisa. If you read out of order, that's not Pirsumei Nisa. There's something missing or there's something ruined by the lack of Seder, the lack of order. Now, on one level, that is understandable. It is understandable. You're misrepresenting the story. You're going from chapter 1 to 4 to 3, Pasuk 1 to 4 to 3. Okay, I hear. It's a little bit misrepresented. I understand that. But on the other hand, is it really so bad? Let's give the example. Let's say you start by reading about Achashverosh. Then you say, I can't wait. You jump to the end and you read about the Jews winning the war. Then you come back and read about Esther's party. Then you read about Haman being elected to his position. And you go back and forth like this, you finish the whole Megillah. So you read it completely out of order, correct? Mm-hmm. But did you publicize the nace?
Yeah.
Why not? I agree with you, but someone else said no. Why not? Did I say what happened on Purim in my reading of the Megillah? Did I say each part of the Megillah? So what did I missing? It's one long parsha, and I went out of order, and it's a funny way of telling a story. It's not a good way. It's not an effective way of telling a story. But did I publicize the nace?
Yeah.
No,
you're not giving woman the nace if you don't say it correctly.
Why? You're right, but why? For sure. Let's just distinguish between two things. The halacha, the mitzvah, mandates that you say over the miracle in this particular way. That's what you're pointing to.
You said we're changing the story otherwise.
Oh, how are we changing the story? What? It's definitely wrong. Doesn't show that. So let's get into it this way. So let's have a mashal. You're all on the right point. We have to, like I said before, we have to name the baby, okay? But you're all on the right track. Mashal, let's say you buy a new novel, and you know this novel to have dramatic twists, thrilling parts, turns throughout the whole thing, a surprise ending, crazy novel. You're very, very excited about it. So what do you do when you buy the novel? You quickly read the last chapter. You say, okay, now I know who the bad guy is. I know who the good guy was. I know that this is supposed to be a twist, and really this person thought he was this way and really that way. Okay, good. Now let me start from the beginning. Okay, and then you read the book straight through. What did you get out of the book? So on one level, you now know the full story. You've read every detail in the book. You've gone through chapters 1 through 50 and 51. So you got the whole picture of the whole story. So what are you missing? So what were you missing the whole time you were reading it? Obviously.
Suspense.
Yeah, the suspense, exactly. You weren't sitting there with bated breath between chapters. You weren't sitting there thinking, what's going to happen next? Who's going to be the good guy? I thought he was good, now he's bad. You're missing on all of that. The thrill is gone. The emotion is lacking.
Like a greater appreciation for the style of writing.
Okay, that's one thing that's true.
If you're seeing random things that happen to Haman, you won't see that Hashem is really
good. Excellent. Very good. So Pirsumei Nisa, apparently, it's not just making sure we remember the story. You could read the last chapter and then go back to the beginning and start from there and jump all over if you want. Then we'll remember the story. No, it's about reliving the story. It's about experiencing the thrill and the drama. It's about reliving the history. It's about feeling like we're part of our people in that part of history through the Megillah all the way to the end. And like you said, it's about feeling like I don't know where the Yad Hashem is right now. I can't tell where the story is going. Then you see, everything really was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The whole thing really was divinely orchestrated. Now I get it. That's what reading the Megillah is. You could tell the story in a million different ways, in a million different orders, but you can't experience the story. You can't feel the twists and the turns. You can't then apply those tensions and the resolutions to your life nowadays unless you've done it in order. Unless you've gone from beginning to end, reading with all the intensity and all the emotion along the way that the Jewish people felt when they were going through it back then. Yeah. Interesting, in terms of order. I don't know if people say similar thing in terms of order, but there is... the thing about Haggadah is a little more complicated. The thing about Haggadah is that not all of the Haggadah is necessary halachically. A lot of it is add-on. So, but yeah, you're supposed to tell it in a way that's, that certainly brings up emotion, and also Laharos says Asmoki Liyatsim Mitzrayim, that you're supposed to re-experience. So in that way, it certainly is true. The Sifrei Chassidus, they all say the same thing. All the Chassidus Rebbe said the same thing. That we have a Gemara here, a Mishnah, that says Hakoreis Hamagil LaMafreya. What did LaMafreya mean? So we said it means retroactively. You read it backwards or out of order, more generally, right? So the Chassidus Rebbe all say you could also understand the Mishnah to mean Hakoreis Hamagil LaMafreya, not retroactively, but retrospectively. Meaning you read the Megillah and say, Nes Gadol Hayasham. This was an amazing event that happened in history. That's not the way to read the Megillah. Hamkore Limafrei, if you read the Megillah backwards, Lo Yatza, you're not really getting the full message. Why? Because the message is that you're supposed to see how this is not some old piece of history. This is not something from yesteryear, from way back in the day. This is something that's applicable to us right now. It's not retrospective, but it's current and it's prospective. It defines the Jewish people now and moving forward. But what we're noticing, that's beautiful of art, that's not a literal definition of the words over here. But what we're noticing, and this is good because I'm a Litvak, I'm not such a chassid, what we're noticing is a different message, it's a different theme. that's more expressed by the literal meaning of the word, and it does stem straight from the reason of the halacha that we just spelled out in the following way. Life is full of challenges. Life is full of first half of the Megillah moments, where things are confusing, difficult, scary, sometimes even tragic. They don't really make sense. They don't really make sense. What's the easiest thing to wish for in those moments? That we had a button that we could press to fast forward. That we had a way to extricate ourselves. That we had a way to get to the end and be able to look over our shoulders and see this tsara, this hard time in our past. That is how a lot of us feel, probably all of us feel on some level. The second we're hit by a hard time is that we want to just get out of it, get through it, and look over our shoulders and see in our past. Now, of course, we're supposed to daven for Yeshua, for Hatzalah. We're supposed to hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu resolves our problems, solves our issues, helps us out, saves us. And of course, He promises that He will in many situations. But HaKorei L'mafreya lo yatza. A person is not supposed to jump away, run away, try to fast forward through life so they can avoid challenges. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a challenge, and we're facing that challenge head on, even though there's a taiva to be gone from it, because it's challenging and it's uncomfortable and it's even depressing sometimes, even if that's true, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the challenge, do you think He wants us to fast forward, go to sleep and wake up in the morning for it to be gone? Or do you think He's sending us a message that He wants us to grow from the challenge? That He wants us to live through the challenge and only then look backwards on the challenge? HaKorei L'mafreya lo yatza. Someone who skips those points in his life, someone who runs through life and tries to avoid all of the messages the Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending, you may be able to tell the story. You could say, I went through this, I went through that, and then here was the end. But you didn't go through it in order. You put yourself on autopilot during the challenge, and you woke up at the end, looked over your shoulder, HaKorei Megillah L'mafreya. You know, I heard a really great story. It would be hilarious if it wasn't so disturbing, the story, but I heard it from Rav Aaron Lopiansky, amazing, a few months ago, like this. There was a boy who, a young boy, 20 years old, 19 years old, something like that, and very wealthy, affluent family and affluent community. But his family stood out in terms of their affluence. They were wealthier than the people around them. And he drove, in this instance, it was a Lexus, whatever. He drove a Lexus. It was fancy for the community they lived in. Okay. He was known for that. People knew he drove a fancy car. He drove it to yeshiva. He drove it back, and nobody was really driving cars like that. Okay. One day, by Hiyayom, so this boy, Nebuch, his cousin, passes away in the middle of the night. Very suddenly, very tragic. His cousin is Ben Gilo, meaning he's the same age. They grew up together. They had similar hobbies. They were in the same yeshiva. I mean, they were very, very, very close. And his cousin just passed away in the middle of the night. And it was a dark time. It was very depressing. It was very hard on him and whole family. And when that happens in a person's life, they start to make a cheshbon and nefesh. They start to think, you know, what can I change? And he was tittering. He was on edge. He was nervous. He was anxious. Maybe he was even nervous for his health. Like, the whole thing was very jarring for him. Okay? So he goes to Rav Lopiansky. And he says, you know, Rav Lopiansky, I've been thinking, like, this has been a really trying time. I feel like Kadosh Baruch Hu sending a message. Like, this is my cousin. He was just like me, my age, everything. I feel like there's something I'm supposed to take from this. And I've been thinking about it. Like, I drive this fancy car. And what if there's an ayin hara? What if there's an ayin hara? I shouldn't have an ayin hara that could lead to things like tragedies like we just experienced. So because of that, I've been thinking, I've been doing cheshbon nefesh, and I want to, so what would you finish the sentence? I want to drive a cheaper car. So the kid says, I've done a cheshbon nefesh, and I think I should start wearing a red bendel.
I should start
what? Wearing a red bendel. A red bendel. So Rav Lubyansky said, he missed the boat. He missed the boat. He heard the message, he heard the call, and it was obvious to him they had to diagnose the issue, and he saw that there was an ayin hara, he saw there was something that he was doing that he felt didn't match up, wasn't perfectly appropriate. And what was his response? The easier thing to do is to do what? Buy a red bendel. Oh, then all the ayin haras will magically go away. Maybe. Right? But what was he really supposed to be thinking? What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell me? And how should I grow from this experience? And the way to answer that question, probably the way you and I were thinking about it, is maybe he should be driving a less fancy car. Or maybe he should, and it doesn't have to be that. It could be learning more Seder. It could be davening better. Whatever the message was. But a person has to look not for the easy way out, because it's much easier to say, I'll put on a red bendel. No. That's being Korei Megillah Mafreya. That's saying, I want to extricate myself from this situation. I want to find a shortcut. I want to go out on the other side, emerge victorious, and then look back and say, oh, I got through it. But really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you a message because he wants you to grow in the experience you're in right now. There's a sickness in the family. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? He wants you to travel to Bnei Brak, pay a mekubal to say that the problem is not a problem? Or he wants you to learn better, to daven better, to grow, to take on another mitzvah, to do more chesed? I don't know, a person's waiting longer than they want to find their shidduch. So it's a challenge. It's a very strong challenge. It's a serious challenge. A person feels like life's on slow motion. So what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want? He wants us to travel to, where do they go? Amuka? Amuka? You go to, is that, am I right? I'm saying it right? You go to Amuka and say Nishmas 40 times. So saying Tehillim is wonderful. Nishmas is a wonderful prayer. That's a good thing to do. But if a person's saying it as a skula, I'm talking about, that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us? Or he wants that we should work to grow in the situation that we're in. Is it possible that he put us in this situation at this point in our lives to work on ourselves, given the tools that he's given us in this situation, using the challenges to propel us to be better? Is that a possibility, or do we want to fast forward and look backwards? If you look in source number 8, amazing. Rav Soloveitchik has an amazing, amazing line here. This is in the essay Kol Dodi Dofik. Kol Dodi Dofik is his essay about Eretz Yisrael, about the gift of Medinas Yisrael, really. And in that context, really the whole first half is all about... it's really about tzaddik v'ralo, about bad things happening to good people and how to view it. So here he says like this, afflictions, this is the English translation, it's much more beautiful in Hebrew, but it's okay. Afflictions come to elevate a person. A person who's in a time of trouble is supposed to look, this is what halacha dictates, is supposed to look how this affliction, how these yisurin are there to purify, to sanctify, to cleanse, to purge, to help a person grow and become better. He quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah, you have it underlined over here, but also translated in a source in a footnote number 1 on the bottom. The Navi Yirmiyah says, "V'es tzara hi Yaakov." It's a time of distress, a time of agony for Yaakov, for Klal Yisrael. Umimena yivashaya. So umimena yivashaya, we tend to interpret as, you will be saved from it, or you will be extricated from the situation. But the way that the Rav says we're supposed to read these words is not that you'll be saved from the situation, but that from out of the very midst of the agony itself, you will attain your salvation. Meaning, Eis Tzara Liyakov, this is a difficult time for Klal Yisrael. But it's not that we have to jump out of there and try to fast forward and look backwards and say, phew, we dodged it. No, Mimena, from that Tzara Yivashaya, that challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is what we're supposed to use to propel ourselves to grow. That challenge is the message. That is the motivation and the gas to get us going and driving forward and growing in our lives. He quotes another pasuk in Dvarim as well. But the point is, through the Tzara itself comes the Yeshua. The 19th century philosopher, theologian, Kierkegaard, the Rav quotes Kierkegaard sometimes in his essay Lonely Man of Faith. I don't know much about him, but he lived in the 1800s, late 1800s. So I think this is in the mid-1800s. So he wrote this line, it's in the journals. Yeah, he wrote it in a different language, but this is the English translation. There's a million translations. This is one of the more famous ones. It's usually said more succinct as well, but he says basically like this. He says, life can only be understood backwards. We relate to that, right? We don't understand life as it's going on usually. We don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says things, does things, makes a certain way, gives a certain challenge. We don't get it. Life can often be understood backwards. When you're looking in the rearview mirror, when you're thinking about the history of all the events, why I didn't get that job, why this relationship didn't work out, why I had that sickness, sometimes the pieces come together and we see the more bigger master plan, the bigger view of the tapestry that is supposed to be life and is supposed to be history. So life can be understood backwards, but even so, it must be lived forwards. It must be lived forwards. When we're struggling, when we're living through the harder times in our lives, the Eis Tzara that we were talking about a second ago, we're blind and we're oblivious to the master plan. We can't fathom how this can be good for us. Only backwards can we understand that. But even so, we have to live life forwards. We have to go straight through life, go in order. HaKore Megillah Mafreya Lo Yatza. The Psukim in Parshas Ki Sisa, you have it in the last source on your page, they tell us how Moshe Rabbeinu had a very interesting, mechutzah request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomar, he said, Har'eini na es kodecha. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me your honor. So Chazal explained, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't asking to see something in the literal sense. He was asking that he wanted to understand the master plan, tzadik v'ralo. Why is it that there are good people that bad things happen to? Why would that be? So he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, explain these things to me. What's the master plan? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a cryptic response. Ani avir kol tuvi, vayomar Hashem, hinei makom iti v'netzavta al atzur. You gotta hide in a crevice. V'haya ba'avor, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ba'avor kvodi, my honor, my glory is gonna pass by you. V'samticha b'nikras atzur. Okay. Then the last pasuk, v'hasirosi es kapi, and what will you see? V'ra'isa es achorai, Ufanai lo yera'u. What does that mean? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to pass by. You're going to be in this cave. I'm going to pass by you. Obviously, it's not literal. I'm going to pass by you. V'ra'isa es achorai. You will see my back. My back, yeah. Ufanai lo yera'u. You will not see my face. Okay, so very strange, very cryptic answer, right? So the Chassam Sofer, in his commentary here in the Torah Moshe, truth is, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in his introduction to a sad, it's relevant to this, but he had a grandson who passed away, I think 12 years old. So he published a bunch of Chiddushei Torah in his honor. I think it's called Ode Yisrael Yosef Ben Yichai or something like that. So in the Hagdam, in the introduction, he writes this way as well. He quotes the Yalkut Shimoni, which says this explicitly, but the Chassam Sofer spells it out as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, so many things happen in this world I don't understand. Tzadik V'ralo, Rasha V'tovlo. It's very, very hard to see the master plan, to see your hand and everything. Very confusing world we live in. Please show me, while I'm living, while I'm going through life, show me the reason things are happening to me. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says back, V'ra'isa sachorai, once I pass by, once life has progressed, once you've passed away, once you've been through it all, when the story ends, when history has already passed us by, V'ra'isa sachorai, you can grasp, you can see, you can begin to understand what the plan was. But only then, ufanai lo yera'u, if you're looking me in the face, if you're going through life forwards, if you're living life in the trajectory that it's supposed to be, in the Seder, in the order, not lima freya, but straightforward, ufanai lo yera'u, you will not understand. Ki lo yirani ha'adam b'chai, a person cannot be in this world and understand everything that's going on around them. It's an impossibility. When we're done, when we're out of the challenge, we could look back and we can get a sense of what it was all about. The Rav also, in a different essay, he points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the end of the sixth day of creation, he says, after he saw Es Kol Asher Asa, Vehine Tov Me'od. So the Medrash quotes Rav Meir, who says, Vehine Tov Me'od means, it's referring to Misa, death. Misa is Tov Me'od. So the Rav explained that Rav Meir was someone who suffered a lot of tragedy in his life. He knew what suffering was in his own life. He lost children, he lost his wife, he lost his father-in-law. He died as a kadosh, a martyr. He was killed. He knew what sorrow was. But he said, even mavis, which is the epitome of tragedy, that can also be tov me'od. When? What does the pasuk say? Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa. When you've seen everything. When you have a bigger view of history, a more holistic picture of what happened throughout history, then even mavis, even death, even misa can be tov ma'od. But until then, we don't understand. We don't see. And even so, even though life can only be lived, can only be understood backwards, there are ises achorai, but life must be lived forwards, even in the times of espanai lo yera'u. And the reason is, because we spoke about until now. Because it's true that a person can fast forward and look back and see, oh, I understand what happened. I see the beginning, I see the resolution. But if you miss the whole middle, do you really appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give you? If you read the beginning of the Megillah, then you skip to the end, and you miss the whole middle, and you don't realize it was a nace, and you don't realize that it was scary, and you don't realize that the Yad Hashem was hidden, you missed all of the development. You missed everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to give you. You missed the challenge. The challenge is the place we're supposed to grow from. Mimena Yivashaya. That's the place where the Yeshua comes from. The challenge inspires us and moves us and pushes us to grow and to become greater. If we're Kori L'mafreya, it's easier. It's more convenient. It's more comfortable. But we're missing the point. We're missing the point. So in Halacha, we're supposed to read the Megillah in order. We're supposed to go in order. Akari l'mafreya lo yatsa. You can't read out of order. It can't be the psukim, the words. It can't even be the parshas out of order. And the reason we saw is because it's all one story that's supposed to be developed. And it's actually a lack of persume nisa because the person doesn't actually appreciate the nes. You don't actually appreciate the Yeshua unless you've noticed the tzara. And if you read out of order, you miss all the twists and all the plot turns the whole way. That's going to ruin your appreciation. And that's the concept of living life forwards, even though we know we're only going to understand it backwards. And B'siyat D'Shmaya, we should use the message of Kriyas HaMegillah in general, this halacha in particular in Kriyas HaMegillah, to propel us to live lives forward, to try to engage with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the good times and the not as good times. And to use those to propel us to get to the end of those stories, but to have used those stories themselves to be mefarsim the nesiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yad in our lives, and to B'siyat D'Shmaya grow through them in our avodas Hashem.